What's up? Who's going to train them and teach them? Who's going to do it? You? If we left it to you, you complain about everything. If we threw the mic to you, you going to do it? They need guidance. Anybody can look at folk and complain when you're sitting down, but who's going to be the one to stand up? I believe God wants us to stand up, our confession of faith. Let me get to my message. Man, oh God. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There is too much life in me. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. I can't quit. I got a don't stop till you get enough anointing on me. I can't quit. Too much life, too much vitality. Too much vitality in me. I can't quit. Who said quit? Where did you get that from? You can't quit. You can't give up. You got to keep pressing. You got to keep on moving. Don't stop. No. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Can't quit. There's too much life in me. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Its purpose is to stop you from progressing. But he's given you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. I can't tell you how many times fear tried to halt or stop the move of God in my life. But this passage has given me the unction to keep moving. God did not give me a spirit of fear, even the fear of people, because of the fear of man. It is a snare to those who are caught. Snares aren't designed to keep you in prison, but to hook you and to limit your movements until the captor can come and harvest you. You're not an animal and you're not a slave. Snares are designed for animals. Oh, God. And slaves. When a slave runs, if the master believes that the slave is his property, he sets up traps to hook you. So eventually when he comes, he can hear the chain rattling and harvest his property. I decree and declare you're no one's slave. So why are you ensnared in traps? The trap of fear, the trap of timidity. Free yourself. I spoke to this church a few years ago about a friend of mine that I met while I was in the military who was a racist out of Louisiana. And we were roommates, and he was on one end and I was on the other end of the same room. We were roommates. If we don't come together, somebody's gonna get hurt. So I decided to walk over to him and say, man, what's wrong with you? If we don't come together tonight, I can't sleep, man. I don't know. With this military training, I don't know if you're going to rise up with your bayonet and you want to do some harm to me, sir, and I can't handle that. So I got me a hook over here. I don't like sleeping with stuff like that, man, but I'm telling you, we need to come together. He decided to come together, and we began to have a conversation. He told me he was raised racist. His daddy was racist. His granddaddy was racist. They had hogs and stuff like that. And he was a very handsome looking man. In other words, and I don't compliment men like that, but I'm just telling you, he was the kind of man ladies want. He was 6'2", Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, he can put on anything and walk out there and pull a lady. I have to flag folk down. Please notice me. Please. But he didn't have to do that. He could just put on jeans. He could put on jeans, man. Shirt hanging out. Just stand out there and look around, man. Like, whoa. He was that kind of dude, man. And he was a white dude, man. He could pull Hispanic women, black women. It didn't matter. He's that kind of dude. Y'all want me to keep going? Okay. All right. You need any more? You know those kind of guys. I can't stand them. Dude, just pull them. Some of us have to work hard for our money. We got to work hard. We can't buy a date. I couldn't buy a date until I was 24. Oh, God. Waving flag. Oh, waving flag. Notice me. Why nobody won't dance with me? Oh, my God. But anyway, this dude, man, you know, we became so close that he said, I want to bring you home to meet my family, but my daddy would never accept it. Cried, man. He thought black people had tails. Like physically, he thought that there was something like genetically wrong. And I was the first introduction to a whole segment of society. And you don't know who you are until you're tested, until you get over fear. There's another world out there. But anyway, I asked him a question. I said, you all were trapping. Tell me, what is the most exciting moment you've ever had in trapping? He said, woo. He said, my dad set up a trap, man. And we were trying to catch hogs because this is how we would harvest them and get the ham and the bacon and the pig feet and the hog. I don't understand all of that, man. I wasn't raised on a farm. But anyway, he knew all of that stuff in the bayou and in the swamps and all of that. And it was intriguing. He said, but he and his dad got up like 4 a.m. to go and check a trap. And when it was dark, he said, and he heard this deep growling, and it was vicious, you know. And so his attention, his height, it was heightened. And when they flashed the light, it was a bobcat that was caught in the trap. And it was, he said, man, it was the way it was moving. It was a large male, but it was like vicious and it was making these noises. He said it frightened me the way the thing looked, because when you shine the light on it, it would rip you to shreds. And so they had to kill it. They were trying to release it from the trap, but it was so vicious that he didn't want to kill it, but his daddy killed it. And he examined it. And it only had one scar on its paw. The rest of it was perfect. I got a revelation on that. Many of us are caught up in traps. And when you die in it, or if you die in it, when we examine you, we only gonna see one scar. The rest of you perfect. But you allow this one thing to entrap you. And that one, because everybody getting close to you, you pushing off. People trying to heal you. You don't trust nobody. Just to get you free from it. You're scratching them and biting them. And when you die in it, when we examine you, all we're going to see is one scar on your paw. And if you just watch yourself, you wouldn't have to die in this trap, because it wasn't designed for you. It was designed for a swine. And I believe God wants me to bring that to your attention. So fear, even the fear of people, will not entrap you. God has not given you the spirit of fear. If you're under the sound of my voice, he wants you to be free. Your business acumen, your family, the way you work with your children, how you would function in this church, how you would take it out into your community, how you would raise children is tied to your ability to get rid of fear And if you're under the sound of my voice, I rebuke the spirit of it. And I rebuke audacity, especially saucy audacity and clawy folk. Anytime somebody get close to you, fangs and claws are sick or sunk into their flesh because you don't know how to trust nobody. And God wants to set you free and make you lovely. And I decree and declare it is on its way in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Lord, anoint my voice in this moment that those who hear it, every barrier to faith and boldness in Christ will be broken in the name of Jesus. And all fear will have to get out of this house and run down the street, holding up his skirt, screaming, because we are people of victory and boldness in the name of Jesus. Can I get a praise in here to God Almighty? No mother can raise a kid without fear. With fear, you have to get beyond it. And you got to trust the Lord with your children. Watch as well as pray. But trust the Lord, because unless he watches the house, our labor is in vain. Danger is all around us. Fear is a natural and a spiritual thing. It is natural. Fear will always be with us no matter where you are. But it doesn't have to dictate policy. Fear should not rise to the level of authority, a level that it would have authority and power in your life. Fear should never be your teacher or instructor. I think it's healthy to have some type of fear. You never ride a motorcycle without a helmet. You should be afraid to do that. Somebody told me they were riding and a motorcycle rider came between on 95, came between the two cars, gone. You're in the center of the road. That kind of foolishness, man, is if you see as a pastor how many young men I buried that got killed on a motorcycle, you would understand what I'm saying. And I went through my phase in 2007. I bought a nice a Suzuki 109 Boulevard. First, never rode it. I rode it up, boom, came up in it, boom. And I got all of the trappings. I had the leather, the jeans, the jacket, the helmet, the gloves, all of it. I went buck wild on it. Laid out there, had it out there, laid out on it. I went through my phase, man. I was on Miko Road and became one with the bike. I was going around the curve. Woo! I could just feel it when it wanted me to change gears. Woo! I changed. Woo! Went into it. I met Pastor and Megan at Cracker Barrel. When I pulled up, Megan was crying. Look at my daddy. Look at you. I said, what's wrong, baby? Oh, God. I did. I went through a whole phase of that. I went through a whole phase, and I bought a motorcycle and fixed it all up and gave it to the youth pastor after I paid it off. In the fellowship hall, when I gave him the keys, he fell on his knees. Bang! Oh my God! This is a Gixxer 1000. I gave it to him free of charge. He fell on his knees. Oh God! Then I saw him on US 1 riding with no helmet. Wow, wow, wow. I'm doing 50, 60. He just took off and left me standing. I know, and I said, man, I can't have our young men getting killed. That's why I sold them all and I got rid of them. Because people were riding motorcycles following me now with no insurance. Now, you got $500,000 insurance that if something happened to you, your wife and your kids going to be cool, then get on it. Get on it, if that's what you want to do. I was going to start a motorcycle club. We riding over to Tampa, going on all this stuff, man. That ain't me. I went and visited somebody in the hospital, and this African-American male came up in there, man. He had dreadlocks, and he was huge, like a big dude, right? And so, but he had a motorcycle accident. He was bleeding, and he was just when I saw it, I said, man, I can't ride no motorcycle. He was all tore up. He had gravel in his elbows and just, I can't deal with that. And I sold him. You don't need to put your life on the line because you got courage. Healthy fear is good. Drinking and driving shouldn't be natural to you. Healthy fear is good, but fear should not be your teacher. Do y'all understand?
Yes.
Glory to God. Fear should not be your teacher. It should not rise to the level where it has authority to tell you to sit in the room and don't trust nobody. Don't call anybody. They're going to hurt you. Listen, now we got a problem. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, saying that the church, this church is, and the church at large, needs to stay in the game. It needs to persevere. I believe he's conveying an idea of persistence and continuation and overcoming setbacks and challenges in life. I personally believe that the wind of the Spirit is blowing the backs of God's people. Many of us have had wind blowing in our face, but the wind is shifting. There's a wind now blowing in your back, a gust, to push you into destiny. It's also going to push off some dust. While we're in obscurity, we're getting dusty. We're not as sprightly as we should be. We're not as brilliant in our appearance, but God is going to blow the dust out of your life. So you can get back to resilience. Stay in the game. Keep on moving. So four winds blow in the valley of our despair and lift us up. Glory to God. I decree and declare that persistence and continuation is in your gut. It's in your spirit. I believe the Lord is helping us to overcome every obstacle as we're challenged in this life. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Today's message will explore the dangers of fear from my perspective, and we will examine how fear can negatively impact our lives, particularly our relationship with God. It can impact your relationship with God. It can also impact your relationship with God's people, and that's when the enemy is really working. Man, Bishop Victor Powell is very powerful. And one of the things that he shared a few years ago is that the enemy is a sometime daddy. He don't really stay with families. He has a demon seed, though. What he does is drop it in you and keep moving. If he can get a seed in you, in your heart, that seed is designed to work for generations to come. Very powerful concept. And if he can drop fear in you, he can block your relationship with God and with other people. You're not supposed to come into a church and be suspect of everybody. You're not supposed to come into the church and be suspect with what?
Everybody.
Your discernment is for people you don't know in the street. You're supposed to know the people in your church. So a coffee cup, a Starbucks run, breakfast in the morning, getting to know each other should eradicate fear or suspicion. If you think your discernment is for everybody to sit next to you and you judging how they look, you got to understand that's not what God gave it to you for. He wants you to stay out of hotels. He wants you to stay out of foolishness. Not picking up stuff and spirits from every person in your church. Oh, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. And that ain't the spirit of God.
Amen.
That's not the purpose. We're not supposed to walk through this life with imaginary gloves on when we shake hands. Well, we can't touch skin. We can't relate to each other. Do that for people you don't know when you're about to go into business with somebody. That's what that is for. You're supposed to be able to relax some in your church so you can build a relationship. And all relationships go through a hard spot at first, a little messy in the middle. If you stick with it, it'll become beautiful in the end.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This message is going to help us to explore the dangers of fear and the impact it has on our lives, even the impact in our relationship with God, His plan, His mission, and our relationship with each other. It could even hinder or slow down or impede. I like that word. Another word for hinder is to impede. It could impede, an impediment to your spiritual growth and development. Write it down. Fear carries demonic attributes. Demonic attributes. If God did not give us the spirit of fear, where did it come from? If it didn't come from God, where did it come from? You got to understand the origin and the nature of a thing. So fear's origin and nature. It originates, listen to me, it originates from the fall. It originates from the fall. Before man fell, there was no fear in the earth. It didn't matter what animal he was around. It didn't matter what kind of society he was in. It didn't matter the temperature. He didn't worry about any of that. Temperature, climate, anything that he had to deal with, any animalistic engagement from lions to bears. It didn't matter. There was no fear. But when the fall happened, when sin entered into it, also shame entered in. And with shame comes fear. Oh, I got to protect me. Self-preservation, I got to protect me. Wow, I'm naked. Wow, wow, I'm ashamed. And out of that, you see fear enter in. Glory to God. So the nature of sin, the origin, comes from the fall. The nature of fear comes from the fall or sin. Who is the origin? Who is the ally of sin? Satan himself. And one of the reasons why he doesn't like you is because God loves you. He doesn't like what God loves. Let me say it again. He doesn't like what God loves. And if fear gripped you, you will begin to not like what God loves. God loves children. You'd be like pinching them. Get out of my face. God loves sinners when they come to the church. God loves people who are imperfect when you see it. God loves people who are entering into the gates of his house. Even when they make mistakes, he still loves them. But Satan will cause us to start hating what God loves. God says, forgive. That's not me. You think it's strong when you hold on to offense. Actually, it's fear. Fear of being hurt again. And there is no perfect love in fear. Actually, perfect love. I think I'm in the book now. The more perfect your love is, the more perfect your love is, the less you will be fearful or suspicious. So if you're constantly suspicious, it means you are lacking a love spot.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, My Perspective on Fear, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Bishop and Pastor Sabrina are celebrating their 32nd wedding anniversary on Wednesday, July 2nd. Show your love and support online at truthrevealed.org, the Truth Reveal app, or Cash App at Truth Reveal 2. Make checks payable to Truth Revealed with wedding anniversary on the memo line. Registration is open for VBS 2025 Hip Hop Hope 2.0, happening July 21st through 25th for kids ages 2 through 6th grade. Register and buy t-shirts on the TR app or scan the QR code in the foyer. For more information, email vbs@truthrevealed.org.
Get ready to celebrate Bishop's birthday on July 10th. Show Bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org, the Truth Reveal app, or Cash App at Truth Reveal 2. Make checks payable to Truth Reveal with Bishop's birthday on the memo line.
Men, take note. Our men's summer school begins Sunday, August 3rd at 6 p.m., and it's something you do not want to miss. The brothers will be going through Hemotions by Bishop T.D. Jakes, a powerful book that speaks to the emotional and spiritual journey of men striving to walk in strength, faith, and authenticity. Contact Johnny Stevens with questions or to sign up.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Rotary dial phones, cassette tapes, fax machines. It's fair to say that all of these are almost obsolete. But what about Christianity?
There are a growing number of people who boldly and quite unashamedly assert that the teaching of Jesus Christ and that of his apostles given 2,000 years ago is not relevant to present day conditions, that such teaching is out of date and that we should ignore it.
Billy Graham knew that simply isn't true.
His teaching is not only relevant to today's conditions, but is absolutely the only possible ultimate solution. His teaching would solve all the turmoil, the upheaval, and the unrest in the world today, whether the problems are those of individuals or of nations.
Would you like to know how Jesus Christ can affect your life today? We can help. Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.